gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends! Welcome back to issue number 36 of the DC Superpowers Podcast for new comic book day of December 28th, 2016. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting here with me, as always, in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
Vern, Merry Christmas,
yes.
Brother.
Merry Christmas, Ken, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I'm getting old today, but no, today's our Christmas edition. This is awesome, because DC... And we're going to actually tell you guys about this in a little bit. DC actually has a history of, in all medias, having holiday special stuff. We've already seen a couple of the issues of the comics that have come out in the last couple of weeks have been Christmas editions. We've got the actual DC Rebirth holiday special coming out this week, or that came out last week, so we're going to review that this week. This Week in Books, Harley actually had her own specific holiday special.
With Batman tied up all nice in a bow.
Oh, yeah. You notice that in the Batman Annual with the holiday special and in the Harley book, they both are Batman and Harley.
Yeah, I was noticing that. They have a good chemistry together when it comes to the holidays.
Yeah. So it's almost like it's the Batman-Joker dynamic without the without the killing homicidal aspect of it.
Yeah, because Harley has a down-to-earth good side. She just wants to spread love, peace, and joy around the Christmas time.
That's right. So we got a couple, little bit of regular news that we're going to go through too. There's not much. We try to keep it light on the news so we can go more on the holiday cheer. So and this will actually, yeah, but I'll put this out before Christmas so I'm going to have to just work hard on it. But Vernon, what are your plans for Christmas? What are you doing? Do you have anything special?
So far, cooking some dinner, celebrating with the family, me and mom, and then the week after that we have what we call a Friendmas.
Ah.
That's when all my buddies from Akron, we get together and we kind of just exchange gifts.
Cool.
I'm saying
this is the first year in 40 years that I'm not going to be with my parents for Christmas. They all went down to San Antonio, Texas, because my niece is actually graduating from Air Force Basic Training today.
And this is the first time.
Yeah, this is the first time that any of us have really been out of town for Christmas.
Oh, man.
Now, we've been out of town for Christmas, but we were all together.
To get right. This time you got kind of split up a little bit.
It's weird. So we're going to go down to my grandma's house and hang out with her. Vicky and I are, so... Just hang out down there and then have – and my sister, I have two sisters. One of them actually has said she's been having a hard time about this because of the same thing. She's never been without the family on Christmas. So I had to point out to her, it's like the date is not Christmas. The day is Christmas. So when everybody gets back and we actually have Christmas Day all together, which will probably be a Saturday or something, that will be Christmas. Because Christmas is not all about December 25th. Christmas is about – the feeling you get and being with the family and having fun
around
and hanging
holidays.
Out and eating like nobody's business.
Right.
So it's like,
enjoy
yeah.
each other. Enjoy your time.
Exactly. We're still going to have Christmas with the family. It just won't be on the 25th. So, but should we get to the news, regular news stories first, or you want to do the Christmas stuff first?
We can start off with the Christmas specials first.
Okay. Now, I've not seen all of these.
I have neither. I've only seen about four of these.
Well, I found a wiki page that actually had what they, according to the wiki, which is, you know how accurate those are, that these are all of the holiday specials that are out there, but we had already had one or two on here that weren't on that. But a couple of these we have seen, the first three on our list actually, was the first one is the classic, everybody should have seen this one at some point.
If you grew up in the 90s.
The Batman the Animated Series, Christmas with the Joker.
Amazing
this one was
episode.
Awesome. And actually, if you go to Amazon or buy the volumes of the Batman Animated Series on DVD, this is actually the second episode of the series on the listing there.
I know
those are all out of order and stuff, but that's the second one they put on the first season. So what do you remember from Christmas with the Joker?
The good old theme song. Well, not theme song now. The remix of Jingle Bells.
Yes, Joker singing Jingle Bells. That's it is fantastic.
That's what sticks out for me in that episode.
So, but yeah, it's basically the Joker decides he's going to have Christmas his way. He's going to kill everybody. That's what it was. He was going to take a year, as soon as New Year's comes. Isn't that this one? When he gets to New Year's, he's not going to... Wait, that was a different one.
Yeah, this one was when he just was in Arkham, and it starts off with them putting the tree up, letting the inmates have a Christmas. Yeah. Bad idea. Joker puts a rocket on the star, puts a star on the tree, and it turns into a rocket, flies off, and Robin and Batman are around Gotham City looking for everything, making sure no one's robbing no one, everybody's getting their presents on time. And the city's actually in perfect condition until Joker gets out. Then he kidnaps everybody on the train, and Summer Gleason's mother is on the train. So Batman and Robin are going to have to stop them while he's kidnapped Summer, Harvey, Bullock, and Commissioner Gordon, so he can have his own personal family Christmas.
Ah.
And by the end of it, of course, Batman stops them. And all Joker wanted to do was put pie in the face of Batman for the holiday spirit. And it worked.
That's right. The Joker got his way.
He did.
And then he was happy to go back.
Cool pranks on Batman.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing about that show is that it made the Joker so that he doesn't really care. I mean, he'll kill everybody in sight. But that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to make a joke. And if he can make a joke, he's happy.
Especially on Batman.
That's right. The next one we actually have on our list is from the Batman animated series. But this was, remember, the fourth season was called the Batman the New Animated Series. And it added Nightwing and Tim Drake as Robin. This one's called Holiday Nights. And it's actually like an anthology episode.
Yeah. It had the first one. I think they went in order. It was like Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then New Year's.
Yeah.
Or New Year's Eve. On Christmas Eve, it was Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah. And this is – everybody loves that Harley and Ivy being together nowadays and how they have all these great stories together and they have great chemistry. Well, it started back in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the first time they ever teamed up, the two of those?
Like that.
Yeah. But they were teaming up to have a good time. Well, how are they going to have a good time? Because they don't have any money. Oh, wait.
Exactly. They were broke. They just got out of Arkham. They aren't even supposed to be out in society yet.
Ivy makes some special lipstick for mind control and gives a big wet one to Bruce Wayne. All of a sudden, they have access to the Wayne millions.
Yes, and boy, they run up that credit card.
Oh, yeah. So, but they have a nice little run through the department store without having to steal anything except for some credit cards, and Bruce Wayne's helping them out.
Yep. Well, what was funny to me was they used him until he was about dry of credit card money, and they were getting ready to kill him. They pushed him down the
accident. He fell by accident down the elevator shaft.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't want to kill him. They weren't done yet.
Well, they were trying to just get more money. They weren't done, but Ivy said, well, we were going to kill him anyway.
Yeah, and then he's like, please, God, no, no more kisses, no more kisses. And he falls down. They're like, oops. Well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
We still have the credit cards.
Yep. Then he comes back up the elevator as Batman. I don't know how they didn't realize, Bruce Wayne just fell down the elevator. Here comes Batman.
Well, no, he showed up as Batman after they were already back in the limousine driving away.
Yeah.
So they didn't know that was Batman. Like,
what a coincidence. Bruce Wayne was just in this building.
Yeah. But it's a cartoon, so that's the way it works. And it's comic books, so no one ever notices that stuff. Now, the next one is the last one that I remember from these. Now, the Smallville ones I know I've seen, and Lois and Clark I may have seen at some point, but I don't remember them. But this one here I watched this morning was from the Justice League animated series, Comfort and Joy, which is also a three-story arc.
There's two more stories to the Batman animated series.
Oh, there is?
Yep.
Ah, I don't have them on my list here. What'd you find?
Well, that was the Christmas Eve one. The Christmas one was Batgirl trying to save the day. I don't think there was any mention of Batman or Tim Drake in that episode. It was just Batgirl was in the mall getting her dad something for Christmas, and it was these kids running around shoplifting. And Harvey Bullock and Renee Montoya are trying to figure out why are these kids stealing all the stuff. Turns out the kids come together in the middle of the mall, and they turn and form into Clayface. So they had to deal with that. And at the time, Harvey was there being Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Picture Harvey Bullock being Santa Claus. Kids
on a stakeout. So he's all grumpy about being on a stakeout. And what he's doing on the stakeout is being the mall Santa.
And the kid's just coming, I want this, I want that. He's like, oh, kid, get out of my lap. I don't care. And they eventually bring him down. They go into the ice skating ring since it's frozen water underneath. And then the lights up top, they just basically electrocute Clayface and go about their day.
Yeah.
And then the last one was New Year's Eve, and that one, to me, was probably the best one.
Yeah.
Joker had it set up where everybody in
Gotham...
Ah,
that is that one. I knew I saw that today.
They come into Gotham's Plaza, and they're all wearing Joker masks for New Year's, so they can just pull it off. So, Tim Drake and Batman are trying to figure out who is the real Joker. They get on stage along with Joker and his three stooges. Literally.
Yeah.
They were these henchmen dressed up as the three stooges. They eventually take Joker down. A bell falls on him, and I'm pretty sure he probably broke all the bones in his body. And
well,
as New Year's goes
off, course.
Say what?
That's par for the course.
I think he was going to set a bomb off or something for New Year's or have like poison gas.
Well, no, what this one was, he had stolen a device, a sonic bomb thing that through sound waves would kill everybody if they heard it.
Okay.
So he had it hooked up to basically Gotham has their own version of the big ball on Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
So when the bell would hit the top, it would set off this device and kill everybody in the square. Because he had said on TV earlier that night that, hey, everybody, I'm going to give everybody a New Year's gift. I'm going to not kill anybody for the whole next year. That just means I got to kill a whole lot of people before the end of this year.
That's right. Joker and his television. He loves being on TV.
Oh, yeah. If anybody could figure out how he does, where his television studio is, they'd be able to stop him every time.
I don't think he has one location. I think he goes everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But after they stop Joker, it's Gordon and Batman's tradition to have a cup of coffee on New Year's Eve when the new year rolls in.
With Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, and that's what they do. We also got a cameo from, I think, Paul Dini, Bruce Timm, and there was another artist I can't think of that was on the team.
Oh, they drew themselves in it?
Yeah, they were the carolers.
Oh, cool.
And they would not stop caroling all night until the diner owner told them they had to leave, and then that's when Gordon and Batman came in and had a cup of coffee.
I heard about that, but I heard that because I was looking the other way. I have it on the TV in here, and I didn't now I know because I remember that scene you're talking about with the carolers that were kicked out of the cafe.
I thought that was pretty cool. They drew themselves younger too. They weren't just like in their probably like mid-30s or whatever. They were pulled in kids or teenagers, and I thought it was pretty cool. They drew themselves like that.
Yeah,
but that was all for the Batman animated series Holiday Nights. It was just three different stories in the same episode.
Okay. Well, the next one is actually another one. It's either two or three stories, but these ones actually interweave into each other. That one was actually three short stories. This here is, I think it's two stories in this one, wasn't it?
Three.
Three because the Flash story. You have
Green
Superman
Lantern
and John
Hawk
Jones
Girl.
And Green Lantern and Hawkgirl, yeah.
And then Superman and Martian Manhunter.
Now, in Justice League the Animated Series with Shiera and John Stewart, were they ever together in the comic books, or was that just done for the animated series?
I think they're just done for the animated series. I never had any history of them being together. I didn't even have any history of Vixen and Jon Stewart dating each other.
Yeah. He's been with a bunch of people, hasn't he? Or at least on that show, he was dating everybody.
Yeah, it was like Green Lantern got around. I was like, they must like this Marine guy. And then he was also dating one of the Green Lanterns. I think that one was pulled from the comic books. I can't think of her name.
Okay.
But yeah, he was like Batman.
Yeah, but they don't put Batman with Batman, you rarely do they put in the animated stuff. Have they ever put him with anybody? Bruce Wayne's had girlfriends all the time, but that's part of the disguise.
Batman's always had his love interest, and Wonder Woman was one of them in the show.
So, but this one was they started off the story with John Jones and Clark Kent was a heartwarming little thing that they save a planet, and then Clark realizes that, John Jones doesn't. Well, all of the six of them or five of them save this planet from destruction. Then Clark realizes that Jean doesn't have anywhere to go for Christmas because being a Martian, he doesn't have Christmas.
And Superman can relate a little bit to that.
Yeah. So he says, you know what? You're coming home with me for a Kent family Christmas. Which is awesome because Jean doesn't know what's going on. Superman turns into a little kid again.
Yeah.
Just because he's home with the parents on Christmas and he's just like a kid on Christmas morning.
And what happened? It was like the Christmas morning came in and he was they said something about Santa Claus, and Clark was like, wait a minute, Santa didn't come to the house?
Yeah. Oh, no, they were like how...
Like, Clark, you're like 30,
they were telling,
what are you doing?
Yeah, they were telling... The Kents were telling Jean about some of the stuff they had to do when Clark was a kid because of X-ray vision. They had to, like, wrap his presents in lead-lined paper and stuff. And Clark's like, wait a minute, Santa did all that.
They're like, oh, yes, Santa did wrap.
They're like, yeah, sure.
We helped him a little bit. Oh, that was funny. Well, John Jones, one of the best scenes in there was when he was singing. I forget what Christmas song he's singing, but he had
at the very end. Was he singing a Christmas song? I thought it was just he was just. I couldn't tell what it was he was singing.
He might not have been singing Christmas song. It might just be my memory. It's been a couple years since I've seen that. But he was singing a song, and he had a Supergirl's cat with him.
Yeah, was that Screechy?
Yeah, Screechy. I can't remember his name.
I think it's Screechy, isn't it? The name of her cat?
Yeah, it was Screechy.
Because he's actually staying in Kara's room at the Kent Farm because Kara's actually on a skiing trip with Barbara.
Right. Now I was like, wait, this is a little Easter egg. We don't usually see him in the show.
Yeah. So, and yeah, that actually is an Easter egg for Supergirl and stuff being around. Because remember, this was Justice League, not Justice League Unlimited.
Right.
So
and that just was the base. They even introduced Supergirl.
There was only
there.
Like six or seven, or there was only like five or six heroes in this. Wonder Woman wasn't in it, but the original Justice League show was Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, Superman, Batman, Flash, and Wonder Woman, wasn't it? Or Aquaman's in there too. I don't remember. Was Aquaman in it?
Aquaman was an honorary member.
Yeah, he wasn't in all the time.
Took his place for the first season. They started adding more of him in there for a season two.
Yeah, it's kind of like their version of the original seven.
Yeah. If they were going to say they had eight members, he would definitely be on there. But yeah. The original seven, it was Hawkgirl that took his place.
Yeah. So, and actually, the Justice League Unlimited was everybody. If you could figure out a hero that's been in DC Comics, they probably put him in there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but moving on to the next one is one I've not seen because I've not watched much of this show. Was Batman, the Brave and the Bold, Invasion of the Secret Santas. Now, have you seen this one?
That's the one with Red Tornado. I only seen that one time, and that was, that was when I still had cable. I can't remember exactly what happened in that show.
At some point, I need to sit down and watch through this series because it was basically just a series of team-ups. There's Batman teaming up with a different hero every week.
Yeah, Blue Beetle from everybody. I think the only ones they didn't... I can't remember if Superman was on there. He may have been. I know Wonder Woman was, but I think Superman was one of the... Was he?
Well, hang on. I can tell you here in just a minute, but do you remember anything from this episode?
Besides seeing Red Tornado do his thing about being in his human attire, then went to being a robot again, saving the day for Christmas, reminded me of his own version of Santa Claus. I forget what exactly happened there.
Oh, wait. We didn't get the rest of that Justice League episode. We talked about Superman and the cats.
Oh, yeah. We had Flash and Hawkgirl and John Stewart going their little Christmas date.
Yeah, John and Shaira figuring out what each of them do
And he had to introduce her to Christmas because she didn't have Christmas on her planet.
Exactly. Thanagaria doesn't have it. Yeah, it looks like Superman was on Brave and the Bold at least once.
Okay.
But, yeah, and so John Stewart... she finds him snowboarding with a green snowboard. She can't understand what's so special about snow and why you fly around the universe with your ring through space and everything else. Why do you think this is so much fun just sliding down a hill of snow?
Right. And then you start building a snowman. It's like, hey, this is what I grew up for.
That's right. And snow
every
angels.
Year was to play in the snow. This is only one time a year. Plus the meaning of Christmas, what comes behind that. She's like, what the heck is Christmas?
Exactly. And then so he talks about it being a celebration. She's like, oh, you want to know how we do celebrations where I'm from? So she takes him, this is how I celebrate. And there's this alien bar in some moon. I don't remember exactly what it was. And he's like, and she gets him a pint of beer or whatever the drink is, which he could barely stomach any of it. He took a sip of it, and that was enough. Then she's okay, you ready for the real celebration? She grabs her mace, smashes the giant alien beside her in the hand with it, and hands it to John. And thus, you
like
get the
it.
Epic bar fight. And that's her version of a celebration.
Not what he was going for, but by the end of the night, everybody was either knocked out or passed out from drinking or just tired from fighting.
Yeah.
And she had her head on his shoulder, and they just all fell asleep together.
And then we have the last one.
Which was the
Flash of Claws. Flash is actually, he goes to hang out with some foster kids, or some kids in like an orphanage. And I guess he goes every year to this orphanage with these kids. And he gets to play Flashy Claws, is what I'm going to call it. Because
he's in a big red suit.
That's right. He's already in the big red suit. And he gets the kids something that they really, really want for Christmas. Well, this year for Christmas... The kids, all they want for Christmas is this wrapping rubber ducky. The problem is, it's like, you remember back in the day of like the Tickle Me Elmos, where no one could get it anywhere? And other like huge toys. It's like, well, this year it's the Nintendo Classic, that mini Nintendo. And I almost had one this week, but I wasn't able to get out of work on time.
Always like that around the holidays.
Yeah. So I'm going to get one. I just don't know when. But so he's searching the entire world to get a hold of this thing. And then he ends up going to Japan to the maker of this toy and gets the last one they have. And then what's the ape that's on? That's not Gorilla Grodd. Do you remember?
Ultra Humanite.
Ultra Humanite. Okay. I knew it was one of the Gorilla City guys. I believe, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know exactly where Ultra Humanite.
Because he looks like
he
an ape.
He may be from there.
So, but the Ultra Humanite ends up fighting him, and they end up breaking the toy. And so the Flash is all upset about this, and Ultra Humanite's about to shoot him, and then he's like, go ahead. The one thing I needed to do for Christmas I can't do because it's been smashed. It doesn't matter anymore. And then once he explains what he was doing with it, the Ultra Humanite, it melts his heart. So the Ultra Humanite sits down, fixes the toy, and then goes with the Flash to give it to the kids before he has to go to jail.
I just want to put out there that Ultra Humanite was actually a human.
Okay.
And he was a human that got turned into this ape. He was a scientist, and something weird happened. I don't want to go too far into it, but he was actually the first supervillain Superman ever faced.
Wow.
In the Golden Age comics.
Back in the Golden Age he was? Cool.
Yeah. Superman, what is this? Yeah, Action Comics issue number 13. And if it was that long ago, then yeah, he had to be one of the first ones.
Well, yeah.
Or the first one. So.
Or yeah, because a lot of times other than that, he was fighting bank robbers and stuff like that right away.
Right.
I have to look it up.
Or some type of giant robot.
We got to get a sponsorship for Comixology as much as they talk about it on here.
Yeah. This week on Comixology.
That's right. I got to
figure out. We have on sale.
I got to see if they have that. It's action number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. As I get a bunch of dead air. It's searching, searching, searching. Well, while that's searching, we can move on.
Right.
Now, like I said, Brave and the Bold, we talked about a bunch, but I've never seen it. The next one, Lois and Clark, I've intermittently have seen the whole thing. I just haven't. I need to get a rewatch through. Number 7, number 3. Some Action Comics are on here, some are not. Yeah.
They might not have that older.
Issues. Oh, they have the new version of Action, number 13. There's Action 1938 to 2011. Go there. Now I gotta go to the very beginning of this. Latest releases, number 3, 4, 5. Dude, Action Comics from the 30s is only 99 cents, and they have a bunch of them on here.
Mm.
So... Let me see.
Yeah, those things are expensive if you don't get on there.
They have 248 issues of it, starting with issue 1 all the way through. Well, 99 cents each is not expensive. Nope, they skipped.
No, it's not.
They go to 1 through 8, and then they jump to number 16, 18, 19. So it's like you can get most of the run, but not the whole thing.
Dang it.
Up into the 500s. So I think what it is, they're slowly adding them as they, depending on what the story is.
Yeah, it's a lot more add on there than when I was going to Akron. I was on Comixology trying to figure out what can I buy for cheap.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a nice thing. A lot of the vintage and Golden Age stuff you can get for dirt cheap on there.
Good.
So.
And I see what you mean. They did. I just went on there. They did just add 7 and 8. So we'll probably get 13 in a little bit.
Yeah, it's a matter of, well, they got to be able to find actually a way to get it. Then they got to scan it in. So, because a lot of those issues are either in an archive somewhere or they're in cases in people's collections and they do not open them.
Right. It's like, no,
so
this is
you
got to
think
of
how
condition.
Old these are. 1938, that's almost 70 or 80 years old.
Jeez. Wow.
And they were
that's literally older than what some people live.
Yeah. And that's,
goodness.
And they're printed on newsprint. They're not on, like, acid-free paper that's going to last forever.
Right.
So, but the next two lists we have from different shows is stuff that I didn't. Now, the ones from Smallville, when we get there, I've seen them. I don't remember them, but I'm slowly doing a rewatch of Smallville now, so I'll catch them when I see them on there. But the first one was Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. They actually had three Christmas issues, according to this.
Mm.
One of them was called Season's Greetings. Home is Where the Hurt Is. And the next one was, I still can't say his name right, but this is Twas the Night Before Mixmas. So there was one of the...
We all know where that's going.
Yeah, the one of the Mix... Mix Piddlelix or whatever his name is.
Mr. Piddlelix.
And it's one of his episodes. So that was what Lois and Clark had. Then Smallville, they have two episodes listed as Christmas ones. They had Lexmas and Gemini.
Hmm. I might remember a little bit of Lexmas. Wasn't that like toward the beginning of the season? Or to begin the series?
Maybe. Actually, they didn't have listed on there the like the Flash. This season, their mid-season finale was a Christmas episode.
I figured that. Just because of the CW worked.
Yeah, the newer shows have had Christmas special episodes too, but they're just not on the list I found. Because Arrow
was
a Christmas episode also, wasn't it?
The what was?
Arrow was also a Christmas episode, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to get those listed.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember some of this when Lana got pregnant. At least.
Okay. Was that the Lexmas one?
Yeah.
So that's like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, season 5, episode 9.
Because that's where it got a little squirrely and weird. They went 1 through 4, or 1 through 3 were pretty good and pretty steady. Then until they got to season 6, I think, was squirrely about until about halfway through. Then they realized what they were doing and got back on track.
Thank goodness, because it was like, wait a minute, you guys are adding in too much story detail now.
It was just, I don't think they knew what they were going to do with the show once they were out of high school.
Yeah.
It was designed to be a high school show.
Yeah, I think they were going to stop after that, but...
Yeah. And they also had, they changed the showrunners, which made a big difference, and then it took them a season or two to get their stride and figure out what they were going to do. So, but that's all the Christmas specials that we have right now. So, we do have some regular news, though. So, in television news, this one's a little interesting because, I don't remember a lot of these ever being around. DC Comics is actually going to be running TV commercials for Rebirth. It says several major cable networks are going to be running commercials for DC Comics Rebirth titles beginning in January to actually help push the collected editions that are coming out. All the trades from the comics from this summer are coming out beginning of January. Now, it's going to be 11 different Rebirth commercials that are going to air on AMC, IFC, TBS, TNT, True TV, El Rey, and Boomerang, which is all the Warner Brothers channels. That Warner Brothers actually owns all those channels because they it used to be a lot of those used to be Turner, and Warner Brothers owns Turner now. Remember that?
Mm. Yeah, hello.
So it's those legal. Are going to be running over January and February, and the 11 spots are going to or the 11 ads are going to spotlight individual titles like Batman, Flash, Green Arrow, Justice League, Suicide Squad, Supergirl, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Then there's going to be three other commercials that just promote the Rebirth as a whole. Now, the publisher is also offering... This is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. DC is also offering retailers, like your local comic shop, some money to help them run local ads, as long as they're promoting Rebirth. And with the space for their shows, their store tag at the end of the commercial. So what it is they'll give you the commercial if you pay to put it on the local on your local TV station and help you pay to put the commercial up there. So at the end of the commercial, they have a spot where you can put all the information for your store. So you'll have a Rebirth commercial, and then it says, buy Rebirth at whatever.
Hmm.
Which is that's kind of awesome. So any comic shop owners out there that are listening to this maybe, check that out. You may be able to boost your sales even more.
Hmm. And it helped the local comic shops.
That's right. But it's cool because usually they don't – DC hasn't had a lot of TV commercials. Comic books don't have TV commercials in general.
No, their ads are inside the comic books.
Oh, yeah. There's ads all over the place inside the books. But
I think I want to say I've seen a Rebirth ad somewhere on YouTube. Maybe it might have been for DC.
Yeah. Well, they may be doing that also to direct people to the DC All Access channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still have to sit down and start watching those every day. It's just finding time. They're only like 5 to 10 minutes, but still.
If that. Sometimes it's like 2 to 3 minutes if it's something quick.
But next up, we move into movie news. And this is one we talked about last week. And everybody knows this is coming. Gotham City Sirens. We have a little bit more info. But Gotham City Sirens is actually going to be, Ed said, getting a lot of steam. We know Margot Robbie's going to be in it. David Ayer is directing it, but he's not writing this one. He wrote Suicide Squad and directed it. He's just directing this one. We know it's going to have Catwoman and Poison Ivy also. But they said this is going to come quicker than we thought. They're actually planning on starting production this summer, 2017. Mm. Which means it looks like we may get a 2018 release for this.
Hmm.
Now,
so it's going to come out sooner than what I thought.
Yeah. They announced it, so that means within the next 2 to 3 months, we're going to start to get casting news for this. So that, I'm thinking they already have a script for this at this point. They announced it, and they were ready to go. The other little bit of news that they put out on this was that this was Mark Hughes, which let me see. It says in here who he is. He's a film guy of some sort. Maybe he's just the guy... Oh, okay. According to the Forbes reporter and Mark Hughes must be a reporter for Forbes. But he also announced that, responding to a fan's question, that the Justice League trailer should be expected, quote, pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
So what, we got to think, what movies are coming out soon that they would want to put that in front
Nisa!
Of?
Nisa!
You know?
Whoa. Yeah.
So.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so we got Gotham City Sirens coming this summer. Or starting production this summer. We're going to have all the information for that as soon as we get it. This is actually going to be the first movie that's going into full production and putting out news while we're doing the show. I think Justice League was actually already filming, or they were real close to filming by the time we started recording our show, wasn't it? Or there wasn't a whole lot of news that was coming out at the same time. We didn't cover a lot of it. But this one, we're going to actually be able to cover the news as it comes.
Okay. That'll be good for us.
Yeah, it'll be add an interesting another section to our show. So
as we talk about that, I'm on here looking for some of the things we might get out of here.
What, out Gotham of Gotham City Sirens?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I want to see how they do the dynamic with Harley Quinn and Ivy.
Yeah, I'm curious on how... I mean, I know Catwoman's going to have a big part in there, but how is she going to get introduced?
And who are they going to have player?
That's what a lot of people have been trying to figure out. Who's the cast? Who's the cast? Who's the cast?
Thing is, I think they've had is between Catwoman and Joker, it's got to be real close to a tie to which one has actually had the most screen time on physical, actually television, movies, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think Catwoman may actually edge it out a little bit.
You think so?
Possibly. Because what you would have to... I don't want to do it, and no one should ever try to do this, but you kind of got to put in the fact that Catwoman had her own movie, even though it was a terrible, terrible movie, and it wasn't Catwoman at all, but it was still Catwoman. So
They got some stuff they're saying definitely could be playing Poison Ivy, but I'm like, who's Catwoman?
Mm-hmm.
Could Catwoman be?
Well, was it Megan Fox? Was she wanting to be Catwoman or Poison Ivy?
I think it was Poison Ivy.
Okay.
As I said, I feel like for Catwoman, they might need a woman that's been definitely been in the film industry for a while.
Yeah.
Like Bruce Wayne.
Maybe.
Like Ben Affleck. But we'll see. They'll probably tell us. I want to say nowhere later than probably February to March, we'll get a casting detail on Catwoman and Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah. They're already probably looking at cast.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the next thing we got item up for bid is actually, it's actually a Christmas story. Kind of a Christmas in July story.
Yes, for us.
Yes. DC Comics has actually put out their list of what collectibles and figures are coming out in July. Now, you've looked at the pictures on these, right?
Yeah. This is the only article I was able to bring up.
You could go to DC Comics website, and under collectibles, you can find the latest DC Comics statues and figures that are supposed to be in stores as of July 2017. And some of these are awesome. This first one is kind of beautiful. And this is actually from The Killing Joke, isn't it?
Blue Beetle. Yes. He's got his wits camera.
Yes. It's the this one here, the first one on the list. I think we have seven different packs here. First one is the designer series, The Joker by Brian Boland statue. Now, this is straight out of The Killing Joke, and it's Brian Boland's rendition of The Joker in the designer series treatment. It's designed by Brian Boland, sculpted by David Giraud. Approximately 13 or almost 14 inches tall, and it's supposed to be right around $150, which is about right for the designer series. Once again, it's stuff that we could never afford. Next up, they have a DC Icons 2-pack. It's Blue Beetle and Booster Gold.
And that's the one I really like.
Yeah, that one's cool. It's the bromance for the ages with the gold and blue team. DC Collectibles presents Blue Beetle and Booster Gold action figures, each with multiple accessories, including Lays and Booster's robot sidekick Skeets. These are 6-inch scale, and at $60 suggested retail. Yeah, you see Skeets down there?
Yeah, I do.
They each come with like three hands, a tiki glass holding one of the hands. Or no, they come with two sets of hands and then one individual hand. They each have a tiki glass and a lay. So if you want them hanging out on the beach, you got it. Then the next one up is the Superman the Animated Series, continuation of that series, Superman and Lois Lane action figure 2-pack. The collectibles
look just like they're straight from the show.
Exactly. Presents the first action figure 2-pack inspired by the classic. Oh, this is the first set from the animated series. Okay. That's because they just got done doing all the Batman animated series ones. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, this features the Man of Steel and intrepid reporter Lois Lane with extra hands. These are both 6-inch scale at $55 US. This is the suggested, so you could probably find them cheaper on Amazon and stuff like that once they come out. The next one, we were talking about the Batman animated series. This one's from the Batman animated series. It's the Batgirl series figure. Batgirl is the latest action figure based on the wildly popular Batman the animated series. Batgirl appears in her original gray suit. It comes with extra pairs of hands. It's the 6-inch scale, and this by herself is $28. How much do these figures usually end up coming with if you get them at the store or out of Amazon and stuff? Because I know you buy figures.
It depends. For Batgirl, let's see. That one would probably be around 20-some bucks. Could be 30.
Okay. Cause like I said, you buy figures. So this is this the type of series that you usually buy?
I'm buying the video game series as of right now. Okay. I know the anime series is going up with a lot of toy collectors, but I haven't got one yet.
Okay. So... at some point we got to get a picture of your collection and put it up on the Facebook page and up on Amazon or Instagram.
It's gonna be so much.
Yeah. Well, the next one we go back to the designer series statues. This is Wonder Woman by Adam Hughes' statue. Wonder Woman takes her lasso in hand in this new designer series statue envisioned by Eisner Award-winning artist Adam Hughes. It's designed by Adam Hughes, sculpted by Jack Matthews, and it's 14.85 inches tall, so almost 15 inches tall. This one's actually coming in June at $130. So this is all the, like I said, this is the suggested retail, so I'm not sure how much it actually goes for usually.
I was just going to say the animated series toys, they're not too expensive. 19, like I said, some might be 20.
Yeah, usually.
But they're about the same you get in like any retail.
Yeah, so usually they're about $10 under the suggested.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the designer series ones are going to be a little pricey, but that's just because they're statues. And I don't know. I'm looking at the paint on the Wonder Woman. As it appears, it looks like it's almost too plain.
Kind of. It looks like it's just straight from the basic comic book artist. Like, just there's not a lot of detail on her costume. She's got the Star Spangled Banners. There's gold, but they didn't put any lines in her Wonder Woman logo.
Yeah.
Her belt, just regular gold. They could have done a little bit more with the statue, in my opinion.
Well, the next one looks fantastic, but you expect that from the Bombshell series.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a series you like.
The Bombshell, well, and if you look at all the Bombshell statues they've had so far, they've all looked good. This one, you actually have the Bombshell's Aquaman statue. Set a course for collectibles. The new DC Bombshell's Aquaman leads the way as the first ever solo male Bombshell statue. This is designed by Aunt Lucia and sculpted by Jack Matthews. It's a 1/8 scale at 11.26 inches tall, and suggested retail is $125. And this one's kind of awesome. If you've not seen Aquaman from the Bombshells, if you've not seen
I just got some bad news. Huh? I think I just got some bad news.
What?
That I was waiting for this to come out for the Batman Arkham Knight collection, since I'm collecting all the video game figures from Batman.
Yeah.
They canceled their Poison Ivy figure.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, this is the only one they had that I needed was Poison Ivy.
Oh.
that sucks. I'm gonna go more. I'll look more into that after the show, but no.
Well, this is Aquaman in the Bombshell series. In this statue, he's holding his trident, but he's got the classic sailor pants. So it's actually got the 8 buttons, 2 on each side, They're green instead of blue. No shirt and the sailor's cap, but he's got the Aquaman belt buckle. But he's got all the navy tattoos across his chest. So he looks like a World War II sailor.
Yeah, I'm zooming in on this. He's got the heart. Is that says mom on it?
I don't know.
Can't see, but it's got the anchor, the whales, the octopus. What you would see on a classic sailor as their tattoo.
Yeah. It has Atlantis underneath the anchor. It's a lot of really cool art. It looks like he's got a kraken up on the shoulder or an octopus.
I think that's just a regular octopus. Yeah. I like to see him and Popeye go out together.
Yeah. And the last one we have is the Harley Quinn red, white, and black statue from Terry Dodson. Calling all Harley fans, Terry Dodson's Harley Quinn is the latest and hottest statue to hit from the hit red, white, and black series. Designed by Terry Dodson, sculpted by Jack Matthews, it's 1/10 scale, so it's approximately 7.2 inches tall, and it suggested retail about $125. And this one's interesting, because as Harley holding her pop gun, it's the classic animated series look for Harley in the Jester suit, but kind of almost like she's flying. So, but it looks awesome. All of these figures look awesome. If I could afford to buy figures, I would be buying them all the time.
Yeah, same here. That's why I said I'm going broke already just buying what I have.
Uh-huh. So that's all coming in one in June, the rest are in July from DC. So, but
aww.
What?
I'm looking into the forums. I guess DC or Warner Brothers canceled their release for that toy because I guess not a lot of people were interested. But from everybody seeing pre-ordering it on Amazon, yeah, we were interested in it. And people are complaining, saying, why did they cancel the figure? We all wanted it.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the best-looking Poison Ivy figures they had.
Well, they have it. They just haven't put it out yet. So at some point, you may still get it.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to come out in October, and they said they're not releasing it. So
maybe
not. Well,
there's at least a prototypes or something out there because they had enough to get pictures and stuff.
If someone's selling this on eBay and it's just a prototype, I will paint this. Just give me the figure.
Well, no, they have fully painted ones because, like I said, they have the pictures up already.
Oh, okay, that's what you meant. I've seen some prototypes on eBay sometimes when they're someone's got a prototype of it, it's like no paint to it whatsoever. You have to like buy it and paint it whatever way you want. So maybe if I could get hands on that.
Yeah, but prototypes are expensive usually, aren't they?
They are. If you can get a good bid on it, you might be in luck.
Yeah, you'll be lucky if they let it go for that price.
Yeah, that's the thing you got to keep your eye out for.
But that gets through most of our list and most of our holiday specials for this year, for this issue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, I think you were going to bring most of the reviews here, and I'll make my normal commentary. Sound good?
Okay. Sounds great.
So where are we at on reviews?
For our first one on our review list, we have Suicide Squad. Now, this is a prelude into what we're going to see in Suicide Squad versus Justice League, but this is Suicide Squad issue number 8. They're still trying to get through the prison without getting torn apart by her own teammates, Harley Quinn, because now she's the only sane one. The virus that they put out basically will make everybody else in the prison go insane or more crazier than what they already are. But since Harley Quinn has been pushed over the brink of crazy, she's on her own different level. It made her sane.
Yeah.
So now she's trying to save all her members from killing each other. Rick Flag is back to being normal. So is Enchantress. But Killer Croc has a big crush on Enchantress. We actually found out they have a relationship. I don't know how that works, and I don't think you guys want to know. But
well, not with Enchantress. He's got a relationship.
He's got a thing for June Moon, which makes it even weirder.
Yeah,
I was thinking Enchantress would have been a little bit better, but the thing that really gets him to break free for a time being and get his so he's back in control, she turns into Enchantress, and he's saying, "You're not June. Where's June?" And then she puts him in this box, and he can't get out. Also, we found out, I don't know how they saved him, but Captain Boomerang never died. I know we talked about this when the first Suicide Squad issue came out. I think this happened in the second issue. Captain Boomerang died. General Zod had shot him with his laser beams, and he was gone for a while.
His physical body died.
Right. He somehow got absorbed into the computer where General Zod was kept in the Phantom Zone, and he wants out. And there's a virus going on inside of the computer, and turns out Captain Boomerang being there is what's causing the virus. Go figure, right? Of course Captain Boomerang would cause all this destruction. So you get Amanda Waller, Killer Croc, all of them now trying to defeat Zod. And Harley Quinn does something so brave, I didn't even think it would work. Oh, what's her name here? What's the new girl that's on the team that's the Harley Quinn apprentice? The new girl they have with the...
Are you talking about the hacker?
Yeah.
Don't they just call her Hack?
Okay, that's probably why I forgot.
I think it's something like that. I've not been reading Suicide Squad, honestly.
Her, since she's new, I keep forgetting her name.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, she's just Hack.
Okay. Harley Quinn electrocutes Zod. He falls to the ground. Hack's on the ground trying to absorb him back into... absorb what's remaining of him and get Captain Boomerang out. Which they do. He's out since Zod's been singed with the electricity. Captain Boomerang's talking his stuff, saying, "Hey, I'm Captain Boomerang, and I'm out, and I don't want none of your Kryptonian blood to stain on me, da-da-da." And as he's talking trash to him, he throws a boomerang at Zod. Nothing happens. He's like, oh, no. Since Zod's, like, barely able to stand, he just passes out and falls on Captain Boomerang.
Which is perfect for Boomerang.
Yeah, and all you can hear underneath him just, still talking trash while he's being smothered by Zod's body. And now everybody's back to normal, and they've got everything under control. The squad has succeeded again. But since Harley Quinn set everything back to normal, she's not sane anymore. She's back to being crazy as heck. And yep. She's just laughing at Amanda Waller. She asked her and said, "Dr. Quinzel, you saved us all. You made it better for us." And she says, "Did I?" And, of course, she goes on her little crazy rant.
Which, this was the opening story of this, the main story for this book. And it's actually a pretty good wrap-up for the first story arc, because it was an 8-issue story arc for the beginning of this series.
Yeah, it was pretty long. This went on since the beginning of Rebirth.
Yeah, we got so even full issues of it.
For a while. Yeah. Well, we get a little backstory into who else will be joining the Suicide Squad when they go against the Justice League. And that is Killer Frost. And now this is the current Killer Frost that's even in media right now. This is Caitlin Snow.
Well, she's always been Caitlin Snow. I think they added the Doctor to the front of it.
No, there's been three. I want to say it might have been four, but I know it's been a good three incarnations of Killer Frost. This is the latest one. And I think they're doing this because of the TV show, as we said, they want to go back and forth with the comic books and the media. But they've all had basically the same personality, just different names.
Yeah.
So they drop her off, and they're all in these freezing, heat-warm suits. Now, it's for cold weather, but it keeps you warm, and Killer Frost cannot attack you like this.
Yeah, it's fully insulated, 100%, so you don't leak any heat at all. So that
right.
way,
and that's
she uses powers. Heat and makes it cold and uses it against you.
Right.
She'll siphon heat away.
And right now we just have Katana along with Rick Flag. She is just like if he was in the movie, basically his bodyguard. If anything goes wrong, she will cut and slice and dice you.
Oh, yeah.
So they're taking her down, and she's telling them, oh, there's one quote that her dad told her. Where was it? Where is this? I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, we're getting an internal monologue from Frost this entire time of what she's thinking as she's going through this first day in prison.
I'm trying to find where she said her dad. Well, basically, she always said her dad always told her, no matter how cold somebody is on the outside, honey, they always have a warm heart or they're always good on the inside. And that's what she says when she first going in. Now, keep that in mind. As they're taking her through the prison, he's telling her, hey, you're going to be a part of the Suicide Squad. I'm going to be your team leader. Katana here. Anything goes wrong, you have to deal with her and she will cut you. First, they go by Deadshot. She says, oh, he has a very cold heart. Harley Quinn's hanging upside down reading a book. She's crazy. Asking them, why are you guys on the ceiling? And that's all Killer Croc Killer Frost needs to know from her. She runs into Killer Croc and says, Rick Flag tells her he's the muscle. Then they go past Enchantress. See, right now she's June Moon. They tell her she's just a regular old computer designer, graphic designer, until she turns into Enchantress and she becomes has a black heart and evil as could be. Then we get to Captain Boomerang. And as they go by, she can't even stare at his cell because he's taking a poop.
Well, right as they walk by. He's having a dunny.
Having a good old dunny. And the only explanation for that, Killer Croc, like, oh my god, I can't look at this. Rick Flag tells her he's Australian. And then it seems like she is just falling in love, or at least has the most, best, I'm trying to figure out what should I put in here, because this is the complete opposite of her. I would be terrified from him, but she's just fascinated by El Diablo. She thinks he's beautiful.
Well, remember, the way they explained her powers in this so far is she siphons heat. Well, he generates fire.
Oh, that could be
so
very bad.
He would fuel her so much it's not even funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he can't. I don't think he can run out, unlike
they would be the perfect team if they were going to team up.
Yeah, unlike with her and Firestorm. This is a little bit different. But as she's getting so infatuated by El Diablo, Katana puts her blade to Killer Frost and basically reflects to her, you keep doing stuff like that, I don't care how good at home you feel, you're going to be under my orders, so just always remember that. Then they take her in to meet Amanda Waller, the last person she'll probably ever want to see and probably wants to kill.
And the coldest heart on the team.
Mm-hmm. And as she said once again, her quote from her father, my dad always said everyone has a warm heart. Some just keep it deep down, buried inside. Well, my dad was wrong. And this is when she meets Amanda Waller. So,
welcome to... This is the setup for Suicide Squad versus Justice League, which actually starts this week. I actually have it sitting here. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
And I'm loving the team right now. I would have liked to see Killer Frost in the movie along with everybody else.
Well, if you look at this week's DC Comics, most of them have a fold-out poster on the inside. And there's some characters in here I've even never heard of, or I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, let me pull that out real quick, because they're going to be in every single issue, so we might as well just get this over with.
Well, I'm not going to pull it out of the book, but...
I'm not either. I'm just going to flip it open and say... Now, I don't know who the... You said you knew who the girl is with the green eye, right?
Yeah, that's Enchantress, isn't it?
No, I don't think that's Enchantress, no.
It's a magical character that's green, so...
I thought this was Wonder Woman's villain, that's a different character, I want to say. It might be Enchantress, but this is a different team that's going to supposed to be going against the squad unless
I think this is the villains team.
No, that's a Wonder Woman villain, because if you look in the background, she's got the W on the back.
Okay.
So this is a different character. Then you got Lobo. The guy in the hood, I do not know who this is. He looks like he's a Green Lantern villain. If you look back here, they all got their emblems of the people they hate. With Lobo, you have a dead Superman on the graffiti art. Then you have
Which one? Oh, Lobo?
Lobos. Then this guy with the hood on is a Green Lantern villain. I can't tell who that is. Then you have Snapper Carr.
Are you sure that's Snapper Carr?
I might be wrong, but I want to say that's him.
That'd be kind of cool.
Then you got this guy. It looks like Owlman, but I don't think that's Owlman since he's producing electricity. I know who this villain is with the red mask, but I can't think of his name.
Could the guy that looks like Owlman, could that be Prometheus?
Possibly.
Remember,
could
there's
be Prometheus.
The Superman version Prometheus. Remember who I'm talking about?
A Superman version? Not a Superman version. No. I know there's a Prometheus.
Yeah, I think it was a Superman villain, maybe. But he doesn't have anything behind him that tells him who he's from.
Sorry, it's Maxwell Lord. I apologize.
Oh, in the middle? Okay, that makes a lot of sense now. Lord. That would make sense that he's leading a team of villains.
Right. We'll find out, I guess, who the other ones are here, but I think
as soon as we start reading the books.
And then it's an Eclipso for a Batman villain. And then the guy with the red mask also has a speed sign like the Flash would have, so... All of these characters. Oh, this is like an Aquaman villain, maybe. The guy with the lightning bolts coming from him because he has a dead fish behind him.
That, yeah, maybe. Actually, maybe. I can cheat a little bit while you're talking.
Okay. I'm going to continue on now with the list as you tell us. Next, we have the Flash issue number 12. Now, they're still in the Shadow Realm with the Shade, and they're trying to get Iris and Shade's fiance out. Or wife, I'm sorry. And the thing that they keep saying, I found on these issues this week, hope is the one thing that keeps all these heroes together, and I kept thinking of the Blue Lanterns.
And as we've said forever, and everybody else keeps saying, Flash is the hope. Or no, Flash is usually the heart of the DC Universe, because Kyle Rayner was all hope. But in Flash also symbolizes hope.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's technically two of them, too. It was always Superman and Barry Allen, and both of them, if I'm correct, got the Blue Lantern ring. And that was the Ring of Hope. So it makes sense. But they kept saying here, the hope is what's going to get them out of here. The hope is what's going to fuel the Flash and Kid Flash to get their aunt and his future wife back. So they're getting taken in by the darkness. And Barry's trying to tell Wally, hey, we're going to have to work together so we can get out of here. We have to use our powers together. He's saying, how can I trust you when you don't trust me? He said, I do trust you, Wally. He says, no, you don't. You won't even tell me who you are. And Barry's trying to tell him, it's not about me telling you who I am. It's about what I'm trying to help you do. And then he goes into his backstory of, you're just a kid. I never had a childhood. My mother was taken away from me when I was a young boy. So I'm trying to help you out and so you don't have to worry about this. And a secret identity is something you do not need to worry about right now. What you need to worry about is the right path to take. And then he says, well, I believe you a little bit more now, but there's any chance you give me a clue on your name? He says, well, I'm named after my grandfather. And he says that's a start. So they basically must vibrate together so they can create this these bolts of lightning and energy so they can get the darkness away. But Kid Flash is so powerful when he does this, he literally just destroys the Shadow Realm monsters and they just go completely away. He says, you know what? That'll work too. So they get back to the tower and they get to Shade, his wife, and Iris. And they're saying how you... Oh, did you find out who they were?
Yeah, I got it, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. And while I was there in the tower, she's telling them, you never thought too much of me. You always thought about something else and it was never there for me. And then Iris is coming to the conclusion, I shouldn't be here. And it's probably because she's just got there where his girlfriend has been there for years. So the Shade tells him, I wasn't never there for you. And it's my fault that you're here. So this will be my punishment. And he grabs her hands. She asks him, what are you doing? And he tells him, Flash, leave us, save yourself, take Iris, Kid Flash, and get out of here. I'll just stay with her. And Barry's basically telling him, there's no way I'm going to leave you behind, Sade. We got to save all of them. And they get their energy together, him and Kid Flash, and they basically do a little fist bump, and it somehow starts this whole flash of lightning, and it destroys the whole realm of the Shadow World. And now they're back in Central City. And Iris and... what is her name? Actually, is her name Hope? Her name may be Hope, the Shade's girlfriend, and they go about their business. And it's so weird here. I don't know where they went, but they just came from the Shadow Realm. They say they need to just be together, just those two. And then they disappear into the darkness with just his top hat behind. And her name is Hope. I found that out. That's why I kept saying Hope so much. That is actually her name. And that's kind of ironic. But also I found out in here that Barry tells Shade, you need to be happy. You deserve that for once. And then Shade tells Barry, well... I say same for you. So once Barry and Kid Flash get Iris back to their house, she still does know Wally is Kid Flash, but has no idea Barry and Flash are one and the same. She's really tired from this whole ordeal, so she goes inside and says she's going to just take a long nap. And then Kid Flash tells Barry, we can get to my training whenever you want. Barry says, well, we can do that now. You've proven that you're worthy of it. He says, well, I'm sorry, I can't right this second. Barry asks him, why not? You've always been wanting to do this. Why don't you want to take the opportunity? Because I have to go to school. And if you remember the past couple issues, that's what Iris and Barry have been beating into him. He needs to start going to school more instead of running around in his costume.
Exactly.
And that's when Barry says he's going to be a good kid. He's a good kid. He deserves to be a kid. And he's going to be a great Kid Flash.
Well, the end here is what I'm loving because Barry finally makes a decision he should have made a long time ago.
And it took the Shade to tell him you deserve to be happy. So Barry leaves his work, leaves the office, rushes to Iris' doorstep and tells her, can I come in for a little bit? And she's like, yeah, what, you got a story for me? Why are you stopping by? He says, actually, I wanted to ask you a question. She says, like, what is it? Do you want to go on a date with me?
It's so about time.
Yeah. Took him long enough. And next on our list, we have...
Hal Jordan and the Hal Green Jordan. Lantern Corps.
Yes, now this I'm going to get through pretty fast. I read this pretty fast. Not too much happening here. It's something major, but the Sinestro world is going to leave you on a big cliffhanger. But if you guys remember, DC's kind of spoiled that for us in our pool list.
Yeah.
But
this is nice because it is introducing, and we're actually getting to see some of these characters we've not seen in a long time.
Oh, no, the dead Green Lanterns. We'll get to that in
a
second.
Well, not just that. I'm saying, like, with Brainiac 2.0 in the bottled cities, we get some more of Ganthet and Sayid. We get a bunch of Kyle Rayner.
A lot of Kyle, which we've been missing for a while. I'm glad we've seen him. We haven't seen him since Rebirth. Well, last issue, but we haven't done anything big since Rebirth, first issue.
I wouldn't mind seeing him come back as a Green Lantern again.
I would like. I know they need a White Lantern, but I really like Kyle as the Green Lantern. But you get the shot of Brainiac 2.0, and he's got all the Green Lantern and some of the Sinestro Corps in the city, bottled up for his entertainment, and they're trying to get out of the city, but they don't really know how to yet. Now we get to the main story, and this is with Kyle and the other Guardians telling them that, hey, Hal Jordan's trapped in here. We need to get him out because he should not be there. He's not dead yet. He's like, well, I'm the Lantern of Life, so if anybody can help, he's going to be the one to do so. But do you call me all the way back over here just to get the to look at Hal's ring? They tell him, no, he's inside of that. You need to get him out of it. So as him and Aventuri are traveling through this green desert wasteland of the dead Green Lanterns, he tells them the gang's all here, and it's everyone, all the fallen Green Lanterns they've met in their past. And Kyle is trying to focus all of his energy on this ring to pull Hal from his from death, or whatever this afterlife is. And he's talking to all the Green Lanterns. I think this is the one that had the thing for him, her, and John Stewart. It doesn't say her name, does it?
No, I don't see a name for. Hang on, Katma.
Katma, she was an old lover of John Stewart, and she's passed away. And she's asking how is John and everything. And then you get T'Mara Tu's father. He was the Green Lantern before him.
Yeah, this was the one I remember this. This is Tomar Ree.
Yeah, I thought this was the one that
this
we
is one
saw
I had heard of. I thought
right
T'Mara Tu was him until I saw the name.
Right. Yeah, until I did too. I was like, oh, that's the dad. You guys look just alike. He's telling him how his son's a great Green Lantern, and he says, well, I'm sorry, I just can't be there, so he'll know how proud I am. And this is when Kyle's still trying to get him out there, and they're telling him hope is the thing you have to hold on to, so you don't let go of that, and you'll be able to pull Hal Jordan out of that Green Lantern, or that Green Ring. And he's focusing, and they're telling him, Hal, it's time for you to go, and Hal's still having these conversations with the dead Green Lanterns. And he's saying, I don't feel right, something's not right here. Then he gets sucked out of the Green Lantern ring from his arm. And he's getting the bone put back onto him with the flesh. Then the ring's on his finger. And over time, they start pulling him out. And then he's back in the world of the living. And as we go back to Space Sector 2828, we see Brainiac is talking to somebody, telling them that I have all of them for you. And they're all in one place. It's a collection of the Green Lanterns. And some of the yellow. All this guy's voice is saying, ooh, the yellow. And the green. Two for one. And they are all mine. And you see Larfrees clutching on to the city. And now, next we get Greed Rules.
So how did Larfrees get Brainiac to start working for him?
You know, we'll probably get that in the next issue. I do know that we've had Lex Luthor be a bearer of the Orange Lantern Ring. So what might be a reason that Larfrees didn't lie to Brainiac and tell him maybe he can be like him with everything else. Or he just bribed him into something completely different just so he could get the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
But we'll figure that out in the next issue. I'm glad we got to see Larfrees. So what is that? We got to see the Green Lanterns, the Yellow Lanterns, the
White
Lanterns
right
now.
And the Orange
White
Lanterns.
So now we just got what? The Love, the
Red,
Violet
Indigo,
Lanterns,
and Blue.
Indigo, yeah. I really want to see a blue. The blue's one of my favorites. They go hand in hand with the Green Lanterns. But as we move along to our next issue, we have Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 5. And this is after Black Mask has been trying to take over Bizarro, and he's done something pretty good with doing that. Well, not really good for us, but good for him. He's causing a lot of destruction to Gotham City.
He's remember, he's infected Bizarro with a technovirus, which allows him to mind control Bizarro, what little bit of mind Bizarro actually has.
has, right. And it's also going to, I don't think that's a good thing for Black Mask, but we'll get to that a little bit later. You see Red Hood trying to talk to him, say, I'm trying to stop you, you dumb idiot. Black Mask is controlling you. Can't you see that? Bizarro doesn't understand really what's going on yet. But he was able to smash him through the through a wall and fall into a lake, and that and he's got knocked out somehow. And that's when Red Hood says, I guess they don't make fake Superman clones like they used to. And Black Mask is telling him how he's going to try to fix the city. You're doing the same thing. He doesn't understand why you don't want to work with me. Well, they got different ways of fixing the city. And this is a way Red Hood does not agree with. And he's got the perfect shot lined up to shoot Black Mask right in between his eyes. But he remembers him and Batman talking, saying how that he doesn't want anyone dead yet. But Bizarro gets back up, slams him into a tree, almost breaking his ribs, or did break his ribs. But, you know, he's Red Hood. He can power through it. Now we get Artemis coming back to save Red Hood. And we thought she all had left town, but she can't do that. She's still a hero at heart, no matter how much of a, as a Red Hood called her, a badass she is. She still has a heart and still wants to save people.
Or she's going to be a hero at some point.
Right. And also, I didn't know that she's in tune with her battle axe. So whatever damage that takes, she feels it as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a weapon of the gods.
Right. And I guess that's what comes along with it. She goes to try to save Red Hood, but Bizarro catches her axe, and he's squeezing onto it really tight.
He catches it with his chest. It does actually pierce his chest and land.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
Not deep enough to do any major damage, but enough that it's not going to make him happy.
Okay. Well, that's not what hurt her. It was him pulling it off of his chest that hurt. He's squeezing the life out of the thing.
Well, that's because, what's hurt her, if you look, is he broke a piece off. This is a weapon of the gods, and he actually broke and chipped the corner of it off.
Because of his tough skin. Okay.
That's what hurt her, because it broke.
I thought it was him holding it so tight. Okay. Well, he's hurt her, and she's hurt him, so now Bizarro's even more pissed off than he was to begin with. But Red Hood and her say they have a plan. Hers is basically just to keep beating him up. Red Hood's a little bit more of a strategy. But also, from whatever it seems Bizarro takes, Black Mask is taking the same damage. They seem like they are mentally connected.
Yeah.
So as she's fighting Bizarro, Red Hood runs the other direction, trying to come up with his own plan. And he goes to, his own mini little bat cave in Gotham. And we see he had somebody working with him named Dr. Solomon Amiel. And he made up this cure, as we've seen in the beginning with the mayor. He plans on now using it on Black Mask. But Black Mask followed Red Hood right to where he was at, too. And I think Red Hood expected this. And the way they're having their conversation, Black Mask thinks he had the one-up on him. Jason's telling him, hey, I always knew you were following me, da-da-da. And now this is kind of funny. Bizarro's just walking at this point. He's not even fighting Artemis. She's in his way trying to push him back and stop him from going forward, but Bizarro's just walking while her feet are playing in the ground, breaking up all the gravel on the ground, and the cops are in the way, saying we must stop him. She's saying, hey, you guys out of your mind? You fired everything you can at him, and you haven't been able to stop him. Why the heck are you doing a last line of defense? Just leave.
Well, then remember, Jason's theory is that Black Mask has to be a certain distance from they have to stay within a certain distance of each other. So when Mask starts taking off after Jason, Bizarro starts following. It's like a leash.
And he's not hurting anybody, he's just walking towards his master.
Exactly.
And Red Hood and Black Mask, as they said, they have the same agenda to save the city, but they have completely different ways of doing so. But as he's getting closer, then Bizarro and Artemis start fighting back once again. And Jason's look like he's done for almost. Red Hood, Black Mask has shot Red Hood in the chest, but he has his Kevlar on. And as Black Mask take off his mask, it looks like you actually get to see the mask that got singed onto his face, the Black Skeleton mask. And he tells him, all you have to, wait, right here. You no longer have to be worried about me taking you down or elevating yourself in Batman's eyes, because all you have to do is stare death straight in the face. And Jason says in his head, like, I haven't done that before.
Yeah.
So next issue, we'll get to see what happens. I'm pretty sure Black Mask won't shoot Jason in the face. And if he does, he still has his Red Hood mask on, so that'll protect him. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see where this goes. They are forming their team, but they're going to have to get Bizarro back to the realm of reality and stop being controlled by Black Mask. Now, on our last review for this week, we have
this
our Christmas special.
This one's epically ginormously huge.
86-page comic book. This is a lot
this
to
was
take
a
in, guys.
$10 special, and it actually being the size it is, it's worth it with the amount of stories, because each story is only 4 to 5 pages long, we're not going to go page for page like we have been for most of the books, because that would take us another 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a chance to finish this yet, but the way I've seen it, I've read at least halfway through it already, and I love the way they set this up, because it feels like a almost like a clip show holiday special that you'd see on like an old sitcom or something, where they're sitting around and someone introduces the next clip, and then when that's done, they introduce the next story, and it's hardly having a Christmas party and telling these stories in between. So when one story ends, something else is going on during the party, and she's like, oh, hey, welcome back, and this is happening here. Why don't you check this out?
Yeah, but like an old Christmas special you used to watch on Cartoon Network or TV.
Yeah.
Anything on TV.
So, what was some of your favorite... Well, let's pull this way. What was some of your favorite stories in here? I can tell the stories that I've read in here already.
I kind of liked everything. My favorite one was Detective Chimp. That one was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I had forgot he even existed.
Yeah, I was trying to remember which issue did he come from. Like, was he a DC character? And then I thought about... Marvel has another character similar to him, so I was getting them mixed up. But Detective Chimp, to me, is the best one.
Yeah.
He's basically what Batman in question would be if they were a monkey.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you read that story and you see how much he actually is as smart, if not smarter detective-wise, than Batman.
Yeah, he helped Batman with a problem. He was trying to figure out who the heck did this, and he's like, oh, the flowers lead to this, this led to that, this led to this. And he's like, how the heck did you figure that out so quick? I've been down here all night trying to figure it out. He said, well, now will you help me? But yeah, that was my favorite issue. And the way they started off, the art for that was really weird too.
Yeah, each one has a totally different art style, which is nice because it depends on who the artist is that's doing this one. The first story was actually was fun. You have Batman and Superman in Ecuador fighting, and then they got to take off right away because Superman still hasn't got the game that John wants for Christmas. So, and then they have John actually talking to Damian, on the phone. So they're actually friends at this point and talking about how, it's weird that both their dads are not there on Christmas Eve. So Superman is flying all over the world trying to get this one toy that no one can find. He finally figures out Gotham has one. So he flies to Gotham as fast as he can, and as he's walking into the store, Damian Wayne picks up the last copy of the game. And he tells him, oh, faster than a speeding bullet, but not faster than me. And so
only Clark Damian will tell the Man of Steel that.
That's right. So then Bruce and Damian come over for Christmas dinner. And they're all hanging out, and so they were told, okay, you guys can open one gift each. And so John opens Damian's gift, and it's that game that they were both looking for. So Damian basically stole Bruce's thunder, Clark's thunder, after being able to give it to John. And Bruce had idea what Damian was giving him.
And this, I was in shock and awe for like 1 minute. I'm like, wow, Damian did something this good his new friend.
Uh-huh. Well, the fun thing was... the point that they made in this was Bruce apologizes to Clark and said, I didn't know he was going to do this and give it to John, and he took your gift away from you. And Clark says, no, the best gift that he could have ever given is the fact that when he did that, he gave John a friend to hang out with and play
right.
with. That's the gift. Because John really doesn't have a whole lot of friends because he has so many secrets that it's hard to actually have friends.
Right.
Well, since they both have secrets, they can be totally open and honest with each other.
Just like Bruce and Clark.
Exactly. So,
my dog may start snoring again.
Yeah. Well, the first couple stories were all Batman Superman stories.
Yeah. The one thing I did notice in here, we got to see a couple characters that we haven't seen yet for Rebirth. Mr. Freeze. Shazam was in here.
Ah, see, Zatanna I've not got that far here. Yet. Zatanna I've seen.
Well, these were just in the little image. So I was just like, wait, we haven't seen these heroes in a story yet, but they're at the Christmas party. So, we'll guess we'll get to see them soon next year.
Yeah. Well, some of the other stories that we've had in between is you get a Constantine Wonder Woman story.
Yeah, that was good. And I just want to touch on this real quick. You did get a little Christmas story with Crypto.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to sum it up real fast. John was basically asking his mom and dad, do you think Crypto feels different from other dogs? I know he can't. He had to get used to the hearing, the sound, the smell of everything else like any other dog. But does he know he's different than them? So Superman says, we can fix that. We're going to go out and get him a gift. John's like, oh, we're going to the mall? No, they go to the Fortress of Solitude. And this is where John says, I thought the mall would be more exciting. And Superman tells him, the mall is just mini compared to what this is. This, we have stuff all around the galaxy. And then his son says, well, point taken. And they're looking around the showcase of Superman's old costumes, and his first ever costume, the one from 1939, he sees that, and he looks at the belt. John gets this wonderful idea. How about we use the belt that was on your first ever costume and give it to Crypto as a dog collar? they resized it, but it fits perfectly on him. And he says, see, now you're not so different at all. We're all different. Me, you, and mom, and dad. So now we think that family is the most important thing. You can share that with everybody. So I thought that was pretty cute that they did that for Krypto.
Yeah. Well, some of the other stories, you get a Flash story then. And then without getting a break, like you, most of these have that one- or two-page break with Harley talking to someone at the thing. You go straight into a one-page new Superman story.
Yeah, it's very short.
You learn a little bit about the holidays in China because China doesn't have Christmas. But they do have a solstice celebration. Then we move on to a Batwoman story. These are the ones that I have not actually read yet. So we get a Batwoman story as soon as it finishes loading. And this was also, I was surprised, and the comic shops that I talked to were surprised, that DC actually printed a limited number of these. And if you didn't order a bunch to get in your shop at the beginning, you didn't get it. For our shop, he only had enough for a couple of the pull lists, and that was it. Being a $10 book, he wasn't expecting to sell a lot. But everybody wanted it, and he only got 3 or 4 copies of it, and that was it. So I don't know if they're going to do a second run or what they're going to do. But it sounds like it's really hard to get this book. We ended up luckily getting a digital copy.
Yeah, thank goodness. We wouldn't have read none of this.
So,
but in the Flash story, you did get Captain Cold showing he had a good heart and Heat Wave helping him with that.
Yeah, you get all the rogues, really. You get Captain Cold, Heat Wave, Trickster, and Mirror Master.
But you did get to see the good part of Captain Cold and Heat Wave, and that reminded me of the Legends. It's like, out of all the bad guys Flash has had in the rogues, those were the two good ones.
Yeah.
And there was basically just a child orphanage. They stole the toys, or something happened to the toy truck. It was about to get turned over and stopped. And then when they realized what was in it, Captain Cold said, hey, whatever we have planned for tonight, we'll just wait till New Year's to do anything else. We'll lay low. You get those toys to those kids. And then you hear Trickster saying, what are you, stupid? And then you see Heat Wave holding Trickster saying, shut up, let them do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So you get Captain Cold and Heat Wave letting Flash take the toys to the orphans as he lets them go.
And
they won't cause any more harm until New Year's.
Exactly. And it actually starts, according to this, that was the first year of an actual truce between the Rogues and Flash for Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
So Flash can help people on Christmas.
And I think the only reason they did that, the thing about these rogues and Flash, a lot of them were orphans. A lot of them did not have good upbringings as a kid. A lot of them didn't have their parents. So whenever they hear orphans in need, it's like, hey, help them out. Give them something I wasn't able to have.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty nice of them.
And then we get, like I said, the Batwoman story. And then we go on to a Titans story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
not too much happening. Yeah, not too much happening. These are that size, them going to a Christmas spirit somewhere. Okay. Or Hanukkah.
Well, the cool thing is you're getting stories from all around the DC universe.
Yeah. Beast Boy and Raven have their little interaction between them and Harley.
Yeah.
Then the Titans all over again.
I'm waiting for this to load up for me. Then after Titans, you get a Batgirl and Nightwing story.
Very short.
One-page story.
Yeah, it leads right into what happened with them with the Titans. And here we got to see Big Daddy, the guy that he races the cars. And they were able to stop him by... wanting to have a race with him, the Titans are. And, of course, since he's so focused on the race, he thinks he's winning, which he is, but they played it that way. Therefore, Troia and Tempest flipped the car over into the sea. And then that's when Dick Grayson and everybody's up on the rooftop, and all Roy wanted was a New Year's kiss before the New Year rolled in 2017. Donna kissed him on the cheek, and then... he says, that wasn't a whole kiss. I went one lips. Tempest tells him, I'll give you a kiss. He says, get away from me. You smell like a low tide. That's when Nightwing says, oh, crap, I'm late. And then that's when we get into the Batgirl story. And she says, oh, no, I'm late, too. And then they both climb up to the bridge where they met. It seemed like every issue in Rebirth when they have a date plan for each other. They say, you know what, since we're both late, how about we just sit down together and watch fireworks? And that's what they do. And then we get into our last story with...
With the Green Lanterns.
And they're celebrating Christmas, but they're making a dish, and of course they're bickering a little bit in the kitchen, but also having a little bit of fun. They get a call in their ring saying, hey, come to this planet because Earth is in danger. It's these three wise men, it seems like, from the Bible, but they're aliens now. They say, we have three tests for you. And if you pass these tests, Earth will stand and won't destroy it, and the human population will still be there.
Okay.
And Simon tells him, hey, let's just go in here guns a-blazing, which Simon usually does. And they're like, that won't work on us, and it doesn't. You're going to have to complete these three tests. That's the only way to defeat them. First one is they go back to their origins. She's trapped in her room, and he's trapped in the cell. That's when the Green Lantern rings came to both of them. This was testing them out. If they could, should they do it all over again, or they just go with their regular life? They accept the rings, and they say, hey, test one, you passed it. Second test. Where is the second test? Right here. We're going to give you a trial. Now, if you defeat this... I'm sorry, wait a minute. Let me go back a little bit. Oh, after they get their rings on, they go through all everything they had to do as a Green Lantern. Once again, would you do this all over again? And they do. They accept the ring. Okay, second test is done. Third test is to defeat this construct of some type of gorilla animal they or monster they must fight. Simon loses, and they tell Jessica, you don't have to keep fighting, but if you do give up, Earth will not be what it was, and you'll have nowhere to go. She says, screw it. I'll fight for my world, and she does. And even once before she can throw the first punch, they just want to know if she really believes she could do it. And once that's over, they say, you passed the test. And we do have a gift for you now you passed all three tests. They're like, what is it? Tomorrow. And I like the meaning of that because a lot of people take life for granted. The fact that they're letting the Earth stay for what it is and they get to see another day is the gift. And that's the gift a lot of people must value is life. So that was the last story that they had for that. And they go back to their house and they celebrate Christmas at Jessica's.
Mm-hmm. And then we get the one-page wrap-up of Harley's story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a credit page. Now, the cool thing is, for this $10, you have 11 full stories.
Oh, wait. There's one funny thing. They're all saying their Christmas goodbyes or Happy Hanukkah or whatever. Happy holidays. And then 3 months later, they show that it was St. Patty's Day. Now, this was almost a 90-page issue book. For St. Patty's Day, there's one little panel, and Harley asks Amanda Waller, we ran off our budget, didn't we? Yes, we did.
Well, she said at the beginning that she couldn't throw the Christmas party she wanted because they ran their budget out on St. Patty's Day. They had already ran out of the party budget.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a little insight of what actually happened. Now, this did say this is the DC Christmas special issue number one. I'm wondering if we'll get another one for next year.
Oh, we'll get something, yeah.
So
that's like I have a theory.
Yes. That
coming up towards summer, we're going to get DC Comics Rebirth issue number two, Rebirth special issue number two, that'll continue the main story a little bit.
Hmm.
Remember, this is a four year thing they're doing.
Plan. Yeah.
So
okay.
At some point this year, I'm thinking we're going to get an issue two.
Probably. I hope so. That'll be nice to give us a little insight because I don't think they have enough time to just keep putting them in random places in the DC main stories with Nightwing, Lantern, Superman, and all that.
But that means at this point, we've done through all of our reviews, we've done all of our news. We got one thing left to do, I think, on our special holiday edition.
Maybe I need one more place to go.
And it is time for the Comic Shop Pull List for December 28th, 2016. And as always, your Comic Shop Pull List is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook. Let them know that the Superpowers podcast sent you. And we've got 14 comics this week.
Yes, we do.
So some of us have a day or two off for Christmas. Look, DC Comics has not taken a week off.
No, they refuse to. They haven't taken a whole year off.
Yeah. So, but let me bring up my list here.
So I can get the first one if you want.
Yeah, if you
want
to get the first one, I have them all up here, but go ahead.
Okay, first on our list, make sure this is the first one, and it is Batman Beyond, issue number 3. Batman wades through the Joker's gang and finally squares off against Terminal. There would be a ruler, but how much does he have left to take on the deadliest foes? And finally, the moment that followers have been waiting for. A comatose Joker finally awakes.
Ooh.
That's not going to be good for Terry.
Yeah.
Or the whole Gotham City. Cover done by Bernard Chang and written by Dan Jurgens.
Okay. Yeah, I've been waiting to see that too because last time that I remember the actual Joker being in Batman Beyond, it was Tim Drake. Remember in the TV series? In the movie they did, The Return of the Joker.
So this
one
is going to be
a real Joker.
New story.
Is he still
going to be
Joker?
It seems like it. Or it could be a clone that got falsely made, and we're thinking it's Joker.
Yeah. So supposedly this is the reanimated body of the actual Joker. I wonder if he's still going to be Joker.
Right.
Hmm. But the next book we have up on the list is Batgirl number 6. Return to Burnside. On what should be a relaxing flight back home, Babs finds herself and her fellow passengers in mortal peril from Poison Ivy? Batgirl must get to the bottom of Ivy's attack and save the plane if she's ever wants to see home again. Now, the art is done by Raphael Albuquerque, and it's written by Hope Larson.
Cool. And next on our list, we have Wonder Woman, issue number 13. Between Lies and Truth. Following the conclusion of The Lies, Steve Trevor must grapple his revelations about not only Wonder Woman, but about himself as well. Cover done by Liam Sharp and written by Greg Rucka. Whoops.
And the next one we have up is Titans number 6. The Return of Wally West part 6. So they should be wrapping that up pretty quick.
It says,
after making the ultimate sacrifice for his friends, Wally West finds himself lost in the Speed Force with no hope of return. Has Wally's run come to a sudden end? Don't miss the conclusion to the stunning first arc. Hey, see, I called it. And it's weird because the thing that always brings him out is his lightning rod being Linda Park. The problem is Linda and him are not together.
Right.
So art is
done
by...
taking a little bit long to get back.
Yeah, probably. Hey, maybe he'll find Bart while he's in there or something and we'll get Bart back.
Hey, that would be nice.
That'd be awesome. I wouldn't mind even bringing him back as Impulse for a little while.
I think they would... Yeah, I was going to say, we don't need another Kid Flash. We need an Impulse, and I wouldn't mind that. We've got so many speedsters.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
So we got Norm Rapmond and Brett Booth of the art on this one, and it's written by Dan Abnett.
And next on our list, we have The Hellblazer, issue number 5. The Poison Truth, part 5. John's gotten Jin off his back, at least for the moment. Now he needs mercy. As they leave English Shore behind... It's time for the heart-to-heart as Mercy tells John
what happened. No, that's Mercury. Happened. That's not Mercy. That's Mercury.
I'm sorry. Mercury. John, what happened while Swamp Thing and her were battling the rot? Art done by Pia Grea and written by Simon Oliver.
Okay. Next up on the list, The Flash number 13. Date night. It's the holiday season in Central City, and Barry Allen goes on a date with a brand new sweetheart. But things never go as planned for this Flash, who finds himself saddled with an unexpected wingman. Art is done by Neil Gouge. Art done by Neil Gouge, and it's written by Joshua Williamson. Now, let me see if I can bring up the picture a little bigger. That almost looks like Parasite attacking, doesn't it?
Well, let me take a look.
You can see who he's saddled, who his partner is in this one, in the cover picture.
Santa Claus.
It looks like he's working with Santa Claus. So,
two guys in red suits.
Now... This date night, is this going to be with Iris?
Has to be. He just asked for a date, so I'm going to assume.
So we're good about halfway through our list of what's coming out next week.
All right. Next is Teen Titans issue number 3, Damian Knows Best part 3. After Ra's al Ghul's and the demons land a devastating blow against the Teen Titans, the team is forced to regroup. Facing an enemy that knows them better than they know themselves, what chance does the young team have? And how can they trust Damian after everything he's put them through? Art done by Kyle Faum and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay.
I'm curious on how that's going to go. The team seems like they're having a little bumpy spot.
Yeah, well, they've had a bumpy start since the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with
Damian
leading the team or trying to.
I think he can get it. He's getting better. Like I said, from what he said in last year's show, I was very surprised. And what he just did in this Christmas issue.
Yeah.
Damian's not the same little... Brat we were known him to be. He's changing.
Okay. Actually, the next one answers some of the questions we were talking about with Hal Jordan. It says, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 11. Bottled Light, part 4. The Green Lantern and Sinestro Corps form an uneasy alliance as they try to escape Larfleece's clutches while Hal Jordan begins a new mission to help resurrect the nearly extinct Blue Lanterns. Art is done by Jordi Tarragona and Rafael Sandoval. And it's written by Robert Venditti. Remember, we were talking about the cores that we've not seen in Rebirth yet.
Right.
Huh. So.
All right. We'll keep getting them. I think we might, we'll definitely get all of them.
Yeah.
By March, I think. I'm predict that March we'll see every single Green Lantern or
hopefully.
Lantern out there. Okay, next we have Detective Comics 947, The Victim Syndicate Conclusion. Okay, so this is wrapping up now.
Yep. Remember, the last one, it looks like Spoiler was dropping in to fight with the Syndicate.
That won't be good for Batman.
Yeah.
Has the first victim succeeded in dividing and conquering Batman's team? The final attack will come from someone they'll put all their faith in. So if somebody, to trust is going to be the fall of the team. Art done by Raul Fernandez and Alvarado Martinez. Written by James T. Tyon the Fourth.
And this book, actually, if you if anybody checks out the Weebie Geeks podcast, myself and Vicky and Kylan and Dawn from Geek Watch One were on there this week to do their Weebie Awards, which is their yearly award show. And Detective Comics actually won Best Comic of the Year for all the different winners for everything. But that issue actually just came, or that episode just came up on Friday the 23rd. So check that out, and you'll be able to listen to what got voted for the different comics and everything else. But Detective actually won out for Best Comic of the Year.
Not surprised from the way sales been going this year with everything they've had.
And Detective's just been a great book.
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. What it is that it's been a great book, and the idea of the Bat Family team-up book is what's got a lot of it.
Yeah.
So.
And we weren't used to seeing this many members from the Bat Family. They've been pulling out for generations from the 90s.
Oh, yeah. So the next up we got is Deathstroke number 9. It says, 4 days, part 1. After Deathstroke's family is shattered, Slade recalls the first time he and Wintergreen were ever worked together, on a mission that changed both of their lives forever. There's a special guest artist, Kerry Nord, illustrates this game-changing two-part adventure. The art by Kerry Nord, and written by Christopher Priest.
Sweet. Next on our list we have Blue Beetle issue number 4. The origin of the Blue Beetle begins. Jamie relates the story of how he came to acquire the scarab on his back and grant him his powers, and more is revealed about the magical foundation. Meanwhile, Ted Kord is tied up with a new arrival in El Paso, and wait until you see who it is. Art done by Scott Collins and written by Keith Griffin.
Well, it's pure speculation that maybe Dr. Fate, because remember, Dr. Fate's supposed to be an actual part of this book also.
That's what I was thinking, too. And if you're going to find out the magical aspect, he's the only one that knows about that from what I remember in the Rebirth story.
Yeah. Let's skip this one and move it to last. I'm going to move on to Action Comics.
Okay.
Action Comics number 970. Men of Steel Part 4. Godslayer's origin reveals him to be a very different than the Man of Steel imagined. Will even the threat of Universal Armageddon be enough to make Superman sacrifice Lex Luthor? Art by Patrick Zercher, and it's written by Dan Jurgens.
I'm reading this. I think this is literally like the same thing we already found out from last week. Last on our list, we have Justice League versus Suicide Squad, issue number 2.
Well, hang on. We got one more before that.
Oh, is there one more?
Yeah, there's one more.
I missed that.
We have All-Star Batman number 5. Actually, why don't you do Justice League? I'll take care of All-Star. I have it right in front of me.
Okay,
yeah, All-Star Batman number 5. You can't skip this one.
I missed that one.
This is actually This is the end of this storyline. It says my own worst enemy conclusion.
Okay, I have 4 and I still haven't read it. I'm gonna have to dig that one up then.
Well, being the conclusion of this, maybe Duke will finally get a name, an actual superhero name.
Or they might just keep calling him Duke because Duke could also be a superhero name.
Yeah.
Or codename.
This says Batman, Duke, and Two-Face square off in a fight for Harvey Dent's soul. With assassins flooding in from across the countryside, Batman learns. That even his most trusted allies might choose evil over good. Art by Danny Mickey and John Romita Jr. And is written by Scott Snyder. And you have the last one.
Yeah, this is literally the same description we had for the first issue. So they might keep this like this for the rest of the series. You're going to have to just get it and find out.
Okay.
Justice League vs. Suicide Squad issue number 2. The first major event storyline of DC's Rebirth era begins with a day Amanda Waller always knew would come. The Justice League discovers the existence of the Suicide Squad. This government-sponsored Black Ops team of full supervillains with bombs implanted in their brains is obviously a deal-breaker for Earth's paragons of truth and justice. But you can bet the Wall and Task Force X won't go down without the fight that ends all fights. This weekly series gets underway. Yeah, it's the same exact description.
Yeah, it is.
Art done by Jason Fabruk, covered by Jason Fabruk, and written by Joshua Williams.
Cool. So that's our 14 titles. I'm going to have to get a second job just to buy books.
I know, right? Well, I'm glad I'm back to full-time for a couple weeks where school starts, so I can then buy books again.
Yeah.
If they have them, because they've been selling out like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah. That's why I got to go look now to see if I can find the books that were not at my normal shop.
Yeah, I might, like I said, once we get done here, I'm going to go in my comic shop and see what I can order.
Yep.
It is Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas. I want to thank everybody for listening, as always, to the DC Superpowers podcast. And I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll see you again next week before we get to the new year. Because like we said a couple weeks ago, we're going to try to actually have new issues every week. If we skip them, it's going to be just because something happened and we weren't able to do it. But we're trying to give you something new every week. Vernon, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you for doing this with me, brother.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you for introducing me to all this. This has been a new world for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can get a hold of us?
Guys, you can find us on our Facebook and our Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast. And on our Twitter, you can find us at SuperpowersDC. For my personal Instagram, Howlin' at Wolf. For my Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore. And for Twitter, is VYellow.
And you can always find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. And on Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find us on the Tangentbound Network at tangentboundnetwork.com. And the Weebie Geeks Network at weebiegeekspc.com. I want to wish, like I said, a Merry Christmas to all of our super friends out there and to all of our podcasting friends, if there's anybody that's listening out there. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas. And I think we need to go upstairs because I've heard the league is actually having Christmas dinner today.
Ooh, I would like to see what Martian Manhunter has out there besides Oreos.
Exactly.
Probably nothing but Oreos.
So, we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Lost the wheel to the Joker, got away!